All right, hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. December 1st, 2025. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. It is the beginning of the season, the holidays. Actually, I guess Thanksgiving probably kicks it off, the holidays, but December. This is when the fear begins, at least for me. I am, I fear money. I have financial insecurities. I worry to death about it. Am I going to make it? I am the hoarder, or I'm trying not to be, but goddamn, that money scares me, man. So this isn't a great time for me. It's a wonderful time, family, friends, holidays, but we'll definitely probably drop some money this month, and it's going to be a little scary. But I will work through it, right? I'll work through it on this podcast. I will confess all of my financial fears. But yeah, December 1st, I just got home from a meeting. Haven't done the podcast for a while. I thought I'd come upstairs. In fact, I came up earlier and was going to try to do a podcast. And then I was going to go to a meeting. And I go, why don't I go to the meeting? And then I'll come back and chat about all the wonderful things that I have learned. But yeah, been busy. Actually, been doing some traveling. Usually around this time of year, we head up to Connecticut, and we did exactly that. We left, I guess it's been a week or so, I don't know. But we left the Saturday before Thanksgiving, went up to Connecticut. Beautiful. Absolutely love Connecticut. Love getting away. Love our family up there. Such wonderful people. And I call it Lewis in the Mountains. It's just beautiful, and we had a wonderful time. Unfortunately, my family up there is getting a little older. We were going to try to go. We did go to the city one day, went and saw a show. I wonder if I can remember the name of the show. It was a good show, but it was really out of the ordinary. So the play that goes wrong, I think that's what it's called, the play that goes wrong. And usually we go up to the Rockettes, or one year we saw Wicked, last year we saw Aladdin. And my father-in-law's like, we're going to try to see The Outsiders. And I do remember seeing The Outsiders in the movie theater when I was a kid, Pony Boy. But they couldn't get the tickets, and they were so expensive. And so my father-in-law's like, I like buying tickets, but those are expensive. So we ended up going to see this play, and it was hilarious. All of us were like, what movie, what play is this? I think everybody had doubt because, it wasn't one of those big name shows. But, man, what a great show. It was funny. It was hilarious, and really, really enjoyed it. Like every time we go to Broadway, and we're not Broadway people, absolutely not. We only go to see a show because my in-laws like taking us, and we're up in the city, so that's why we go. And we're so blessed to have that. And but every time we go, I'm always like emotionally surprised. I remember I cried at Aladdin. I did not cry at this one, but it was really good and really funny, and I really appreciate all of the actors and people on the stage. So it was really cool. And New York City is always awesome. I love New York City. I'm just so fascinated by it, and there's so many facets of that city. People were like, oh, don't go to New York. It's got a lot of crime. It's really bad, especially with some of the stuff that's going on up there as far as in politics. And, ask somebody and they'll tell you the worst. We got up there and we had an amazing time. We rode the train. We saw people. Nobody tried to steal our necklace, right? Nobody tried to steal our stuff. It was wonderful. Big fan of New York City. New York City is a lot, like recovery. I used to go to the city. In fact, I've been to the city a few times prior to having family there, and just didn't have a great time. It was big, and there's so many directions, and just felt lost and out of place, and just didn't have a great time. And then I've gone with, family, people that, know New York, know the back streets, know the back, just not downtown, right? The main parts of New York. And man, when you go with somebody that knows New York City, you can have a wonderful time. And it's a lot like recovery. I remember coming into recovery early on and not knowing anybody and feeling left out and not really seeing the cool sides of it. And then the last time I came in, when Ron M. said, hey, I'm going to be your temporary sponsor, and he showed me the program from somebody who knew the ins and outs.
On a long and lonesome highway east of Omaha, listen to the engine's moaning out his one old song. You think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do when you're riding 16 hours. Nothing much to do, and you don't feel much like riding. You just wish the trip was through. Here I am on the road again. There I am upon.
James Hetfield, Metallica. Is he the greatest frontman ever? I think so. Probably some people would argue, but I swear, man, James Hetfield and Metallica, pretty freaking epic. Great song. But yeah, we went to the city and we survived and we had a wonderful time, came back, and then I worked on Wednesday, Thanksgiving on Thursday, worked Friday, off Saturday, off Sunday, and then I worked today. So it's been a great, you know, a few days off, a few days working, a few days traveling. We had a wonderful time, and really all because of sobriety. Really, everything I do today at this point is all because of sobriety. And, you know, my wife was talking to somebody who knows somebody, right, through our history here, and was sort of, you know, not bad-mouthing, but sort of critical. And I said, listen, you know, all these people would have a completely different life had I not chose to drink 3 years into my first stint of recovery. Every issue, every problem, every challenge that I have today as far as family, and is all because of the day I chose to drink. Right. So I have to keep reminding myself of that. You know, people can be people, but then there's people and how they act because of somebody that chose to drink. And I'm trying to be pretty vague because I don't want anybody making any emails or phone calls to people because, you know, it's not fair. So, but yeah, I thought I would come upstairs. I went to the meeting, great meeting, my Monday dry dock meeting. Always cool. It's always a literature, always a big book. And we read a story, and it was on page 512. Yeah, 512, empty on the inside. And it said she grew up around AA and had all of the answers except when it came to her own life. And I related. You know, I try to go to literature meetings because I'm not going to just sit around reading the big book. Sorry. And so it's good to go to, for me at least, and honestly, if you're not a big reader, I would try to find meetings that have literature. And Mondays is the big book, and that is a great story. And I have read many stories, not most of them. I mean, obviously, you know, I drink too much kind of stories I can relate to. But this story really hit home because, you know, it talked about her early life. It's my story, obviously, would be the guy version, but just really empty inside and not quite understanding why I felt that way. And not really understanding that I felt anyway at the time. Really, it's easy to reflect back and look how I was at an early age and the things that I did. And it's easy for me to say, geez, you were really empty inside. But at the time, I thought I was living my best life. But, you know, turns out I probably was living my best life. It just wasn't benefiting any other person except for myself. And but, you know, I shared. I try not to share at every meeting, but I ended up sharing. It wasn't a bunch of people sharing. So, you know, I thought I would share. And, you know, alcoholism, you know, and I shared. There isn't a single word in this book, in any of the books, to be honest, that will fix the version of me who has consumed alcohol. Right? Once that vodka goes down my throat, there isn't a word in this book, right, that can fix it or save me. Right? All the words in these books are here to help me prevent that from happening. But once that goes down, it's all she wrote, you know. And I've, you know, someone said, listen, if you feel like drinking, call me. But if you pick up a drink, don't call me till the next day, right? Because there's nothing we can do for somebody who has already consumed the alcohol. The door is open, right? The demons have been let in. The person that we knew is gone. This new intoxicated version of us is there, and it's terrible. But, you know, I haven't had a drink. You know, I celebrate my anniversary coming up. I'm going to celebrate 17 years of free from drugs and alcohol. And it's been 19 years since I had a drink, right? I shared, you know, 17 years ago, I chose to finally put down pain medication. But, you know, 19 years, 17 years, I mean, I haven't had a drink or a drug. Am I still an alcoholic? And of course, and that's exactly what I said in the meeting. Am I still an alcoholic? And of course, people immediately said, yes, yes, you are. And, you know, the question always comes first. What came first, right? Me or the drinking? And unfortunately, I came first, right? There was a lot of alcoholic behavior, right? Really, I call them now character defects, but there was a lot of these things that were showing up early on in my life prior to me ever picking up a drink, right? You know, one of the things that the lady in the story talked about was ditching school. You know, that was a big thing in my life, a big turning point, because once I started to ditch school and become delinquent in my classes and in my grades and choosing to go hang out with my girlfriend or just go hang out with anybody, anything to not go to class, I made a decision that my path was going to be a little different than the rest of us. Right. At that point, I really separated myself from all of my school friends. Right. And I started to become friends with people that thought like me, which was ditch school. Why don't we see if we can find some weed? You know, drinking wasn't my thing early on. We like smoking pot. We like to hunt. It was like Raiders of the Lost Ark trying to find weed back in those days. But, you know, that's what we were into. And I started hanging out with those kind of people and left the other folks behind. And then it would be, you know, skipping school and then lying. Oh, the lying. Oh, my God. My dad would ask me, did you go to class? I'd say yes, even though I didn't, right? Because I didn't care if that would be, I didn't care, one, that it was a lie, two, that it was to my father, right? Three, that it would hurt his feelings, four, that it made me look like a liar, right? Five, you know, you couldn't count on me, right? And so all of these other self-centered character defects would start showing up in my life way before the drinking. And, you know, of course, going through the life that I did, which personally, I mean, I had a lot of fun, right? I never have ever tried to quit using drugs or alcohol until the last day that I used them. You know, it was never white-knuckling. I never had the pressure on me. I never really had anybody in my life to disappoint other than my parents, and they had sort of become used to the story. And so my day, you know, my day would be working and then just drinking and then sort of hopefully managing in it and, you know, managing the outburst. But you know, I never sat there and said, I'm going to try to not drink this week. I just drank and used like I loved it until the day I didn't. And that was enough, right? Because that to me was my problem. If I didn't drink, right, I wouldn't do this. And if I didn't drink, I wouldn't drink and drive, right? If I didn't drink, I wouldn't get in fights. If I didn't drink, I wouldn't do all of these crazy, stupid things that I did. So in my eyes, I was like, well, I'm not going to drink. And I fixed it. And honestly, I survived like that for a long time in the program. You know, many, 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 many years. Right? But it was all of those little character defects. I had, you know, I'm a big fan of ChatGPT. I know that it's kind of strange, but I asked ChatGPT, list of character defects. And I thought it was interesting. So it says common character defects grouped. Number one, self-centeredness and ego. Pride, arrogance, selfishness, self-pity, entitlement, vanity, ego inflation, insecurity, inferiority complex. And I could relate to all of those, right? Prideful, arrogance, yes, selfishness, that was my main one. Selfishness is a character defect. I find to be all of these are spirits. Pride is a spirit, arrogance is a spirit brought on by what? Inconvenience, right? Selfishness is a spirit. Self-pity is a spirit. Entitlement, vanity, ego inflation, insecurity, and inferiority complex are all spirits. Crazy, right? But I suffered from all of those. And yet, had never had a drink of alcohol, right? And so, you know, coming into the program, March 31st, 1997, and I put down that alcohol, and I would like you to think that it was because I just had had enough. But as I've shared many times, it was because I didn't want to go to work with stitches. And so my pride, right? And then, of course, arrogance, because I was inconvenienced. So believe me, going to the hospital and saying, yes, I think I have a drinking problem was not something I would typically do. It was brought on by the inconvenience of getting my ass completely kicked at a bar and ending up in the ER, right? Selfishness, right? I was deep in that. Self-pity, of course, I felt bad for myself. And then entitlement, I was always entitled. Right, I remember looking at the pizza. I was entitled to more pieces. I am entitled to more pieces than anybody else. Runs through me big time. Vanity, sure. Ego inflation, not sure about that one. Insecurity, inferiority complex. Yes, I was never good enough. You know, I talked about how sarcasm was something I would use to fit in, right? Making fun of people, getting a laugh. Allowed me to be part of, because I wasn't good enough to just be brought into the group on my own merit. It was something other than that, you know, being funny, being crazy. I remember trying to break a beer bottle over my head to get attention, started bleeding, you know, set myself on fire, doing shots, flaming shots. It was always something to be above everybody else, to be of value, I guess, to other people. But you know, at the time, I just thought it was, you know, what I did. It's easy now to look back and go, oh, man, what a mess. But, you know, it's, you know, and I said this the other day, I said, you know, it's been, I don't know, however many thousand days since I've had a drink, but it isn't the last time I lied, cheated, stole, that's better. Because then you get into the number two, the dishonesty, the lying, manipulation, denial, deception, hiding the truth, and rationalizing bad behavior. All these took place while in recovery and still do. You know, definitely not like it used to be. You know, because now these things get God's attention. You know, when I start doing these things, God starts talking to me. You know, what'd you do that for? All that stuff. And then fear-based defects, anxiety, to me, which is, for me, usually is God talking to me because of the number two, the dishonesty character defects. When those show up, these other ones like anxiety, cowardice, avoidance, distrust, overreacting, and catastrophizing. Yeah, these to me are, you know, the things that happen when I start, you know, showing my other character defects. And, you know, that's a lot of damn words, you know, a lot of character defects and a lot of reactions to character defects. And I can avoid all of them, right, if I just am a very good person, publicly and privately. And like I said in the meeting, you know, I've suffered from all of these for many years, right? It's only been 5 or 6 years that I've really started to understand that I can control and avoid a lot of these things if I'm just a very good person, right, publicly and privately. And publicly is the easiest part. You know, I came into the program, you know, and I always compare, you know, recovery like a big Sunday float, right? And on top is that big cherry. And the big cherry for me was drinking. I removed the cherry, but I'm still left with all of these layers of goodness, right? And, you know, obviously some of the character defects and the behaviors were brought on by the alcohol. You know, obviously I drank too much, but I also drank and drove. Well, when I stopped drinking, the drinking and driving went away. So that was a big one. But the problem is that, you know, alcohol allowed me to be part of a lot of things that once I got sober, I wasn't really, it was hard for me to be part of, like socializing and having relationships. You know, all of my, back in those days, all of my girlfriends, you know, were probably met from drinking or using drugs. So count all them out. So it was just, it's been an amazing journey. And, you know, I have to remember that even though I am an alcoholic, all these behaviors existed before I ever had a drink. Drinking to me is a character defect, and it's a bad one. I really asked ChatGPT to list character defects to see if drinking came up as one, because I tend to think it is, but I'm not positive, right? You know, if drinking is a character defect, the problem is when I drink, I can't stop. It's not like if I told a lie, I just have to lie all day. I'm just lie until I either go to bed or pass out, right? When I drink, if I have a drink, I can't stop until I either go to jail or I pass out. And so I was just sort of wondering, but to me, you know, the character defects, the shit that really keeps me from having this relationship with God. And, you know, I shared in the meeting, you know, you look at early, I think the first 12 steps were really the first 6 steps. And I think one of the steps, if it wasn't the first step, was basically find God or you're not going to find sobriety. Find God or you're definitely not going to find serenity. And it was pretty cut and dry. Today we're a little softer on it, you know, came to believe, right? Came over time. And sure, I guess that's better. But, you know, the reality is, for me at least, is the only reason I'm here today is because I have a relationship with God. And the relationship's real simple. Be a good boy, and you won't hear much from me. Start slipping in these little slices of character defects, and we're going to have a conversation. That's recovery. That's recovery in a nutshell. Fixing the character defects in our life and then continuing to not do them forever, right? And that's hard. But over time, we start to feel and we hear and we do little things and we're like, damn, I'm sorry about that. Damn, I'm sorry about that. And at some point, over time, because someone could say, man, just don't do that again. And you'd be like, that's a good idea. Let me not do that again. It's just not that easy. But over time, you know, God talks to us enough and we make enough apologies and people start getting sick of hearing that we're sorry. And, you know, eventually we just stop doing it again. Like, I really don't lie. You know, I'll have someone say, hey, can you fit me in? I might be able to, but I will say I can't. But I'm also trying to preserve my happiness, right? So it's not that I'm like, I guess I'm lying. I mean, I guess honestly, I'd be like, I could, but I don't want to. So pick a different day. That's harsh. I have to figure it out. But, you know, is it a shortcoming, right? Are these the little things that start leading me into maybe being more of a liar? I don't know. Or maybe it's the end. of lying, right? I used to think it was the beginning. No, what did I think? I thought one of them, and I talked to a guy at a meeting, and he said, I think it's the end of a character defect. But regardless, you know, I don't lie today. I don't cheat, and I don't steal. And there's a lot of other things that I don't do that I used to do in recovery, right? And it's a pretty peaceful place I live in today. And that's pretty awesome. And I'm pretty freaking grateful for that. And so this is a great time of year. It's great to be with family. It's great to be able to go to New York City. I still suffer from financial insecurity, so December is a tough time for me. Everybody wants something, and I love doing it, but I feel like I'm going to not have any more money. And that is something I have not quite figured out. I was thinking about the other day, maybe I should just spend away. It'll work out. I don't know. But it still freaks me out, financial insecurity. And so we'll work through it, but, you know, I'm grateful. I'm grateful I went to the meeting today, and a guy celebrated 8 months. Great, super grateful for him. I went to a meeting. This is sort of interesting. I went to a meeting on Wednesday, my home group, because of the scheduling and travel. I wasn't able to get to some of the other meetings, so I wanted to get to a meeting, so that's one I ended up going to, and it was awesome. My sponsor actually spoke, did a great job. I'm always grateful for him. But there was a guy in there that was like, I thought, you know, our you know, groups bring in like recovery houses. And I remember when I was in New York, PA, I went to a recovery house, and the guy, sort of the head, I don't know, whatever they are, counselor, you know, would load us up in a van and drive us to a meeting. And it was awesome. And every once in a while, we'll have groups of guys come in. And there was a guy that was, I guess, announced that he had 4 months. And there was a dude in there that was like, yeah, like he got up and walked all the way over, high-fived him. He was just really, he was acting different for sure. And I sort of thought maybe he was the camp counselor and he was just really proud of his group, his guys. And then I heard this ka-tink, something dropped on the ground. I thought it was a phone. Turns out I met with one of the guys I sponsor, and he was talking to another girl that had been there, and she was telling him what a weird meeting it was because that guy dropped a bottle of whiskey on the floor. And I heard it hit. I thought it was someone's phone, but turns out he dropped a bottle of whiskey. And, man, you just never know what's going to show up. I remember being at a meeting once, and a drunk guy showed up, and I was like, I can't believe, right, somebody would come to a meeting drunk. And but that's the reality, man. This is a brutal, brutal disease, and you never know what's coming around the corner, so... But it's great to be back. I'm going to try to get back into doing the podcast. You know me. It's tough. Every day I'm like, I think I'm done with the podcast. And then I'm like, I'm not done. I love doing the podcast. So I'm going to keep trying to do it. But let's see. Let's read the daily reflection. Then I'll let you all go. Thank you for letting me share. I appreciate it. December 1st, suggested steps. Our 12th step also says that as a result of practicing all the steps, we have each found something called a spiritual awakening. Mm-hmm. AA's manner of making ready to receive this gift lies in the practice of the 12 steps in our program. Yep, 12 steps, 12 traditions, page 106 to 107. I remember my sponsor's answer when I told him the steps were suggested. He replied that they are suggested in the same way that if you were to jump out of an airplane with a parachute, it is suggested that you pull the ripcord to save your life. He pointed out that it was suggested I practice the 12 steps if I wanted to save my life. So I try to remember daily that I have a whole program of recovery based on all 12 of the suggested steps. Yeah, that's very true. You know, do it long enough and we start to finally get it, and we start to get tired of hearing God barking at us. And you know, we didn't get like this overnight, and we will not be better overnight. So, but hey, thanks for letting me share. I'll catch you later. Bye. Is it me?
amplifiers ringing in your head. You smoked the day's last cigarette, remembering what she said.